This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSIN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Many bettors find value outside of the side or the total on Follow the Money with Mitch and Pauly. Doug, the prop guy from PickWise.com, discusses the process of betting NBA player props.
My process is fluid, you know, as books get sharper and sharper to these lines, but it's really like what I'm doing is really taking more of a deep dive into all the advanced stats that I could get my hands on. Obviously, I look at the raw numbers of how a player's doing lately, how a player's done over the course of the season, how the player's done against the opponent. But I'm also looking really at how the player is producing, like how he's getting his production, what plays the team is running, you know, to get a player points, or how a player's getting his rebounds or his assists. And then just as much as I look at the player, I'm really looking at the matchup. The way I look at these player props, it's not really a player prop. It's more of a situation. You know, as much as I would love to hammer a guy like Joel Embiid's points prop every game because he's scoring up towards 30 points a game, you know, it's also just as much about how the defense is going to play him. So I'm looking at the matchup as well, seeing how they defend similar guys, how they've defended this player in the past. And yeah, I'm running some low-level projections. I'm not modeling per se, but I am running some low-level projections on how I think the game will go and, you know, what that player will wind up producing.
Doug, the prop guy from PickWise.com, on his process for selecting NBA player props on Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paul Howard, weekdays 7 to 10 a.m. on VSIN. It's the NBA All-Star Weekend. The Utah Jazz are off to a terrific start this season. Tim Doyle of CBS Sports told Mike Palm and Amal Shah on the Nuts that he thinks the Jazz are for real.
I'm holding a Jazz NBA championship ticket, and I feel really good about it because I got locked in at 35-1. And I still think they're being disrespected, boys. Obviously, the Lakers are your favorites. Clippers are still getting some love. Nets are getting some love. Bucks. I mean, all these teams are in front of the Jazz. Guys, what do they need to do to start getting that respect? You see the odds right there? The Lakers and LeBron James are your favorite. The Nets, I believe, are the clear-cut best team in the Eastern Conference. The rest of the Eastern Conference, I think, is a massive, massive question mark. But I still think the Jazz have value at 9-1.
Tim, let me answer your question. They'd have to move the team from Salt Lake City.
Is that what it is? Yeah, is that what I just saw that they're doing a Housewives now from Utah. And my first thought was, how boring would that be? But I've heard, like, the Housewives in Utah, they get down. So that's why they gave them a TV show.
It's all one house.
Tim Doyle of CBS Sports on the Nuts with Mike Palm and Amal Shah, heard weekdays 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on VSiN. The Lakers are plus 280 to win the NBA title. Brooklyn Nets are 3-1. Clippers 5-1. Milwaukee is plus 750. And Utah is at 8-1. The Arizona Cardinals signed J.J. Watt to a two-year, $31 million deal. VSiN host and former NFL executive Mike Lombardi.
Makes no sense. It's like, I'm going to win the press conference. Good. You won the press conference. You just gave J.J. Watt his golden parachute. Is it a smart football move? I don't think it is. I really don't.
Arizona 40-1 to win Super Bowl 56. It's March, and that means it's time for the madness. Our VSiN experts are watching the bubble teams, conference tournaments, and looking for the future Cinderellas to give you the betting edge heading into the tournament. Now is the time to start your free VSiN trial to get members-only daily email updates, our upcoming bracket betting guide, and 24/7 coverage. Get ready for betting the madness. Sign up for your free trial of VSiN today at VSiN.com/subscribe. With your VSiN Action Update, I'm Tony DeZiri.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Before you place your next bet, visit VSiN.com for all the latest data and powerful betting tools. Start with our live odds, team comparisons, and previews for every game on the schedule. Then dive deeper with live tracking of betting trends and line movements. And don't miss our unique tools, including odds comparisons from sportsbooks across the country, prop bet search engine, and custom parlay calculator. Everything you need to increase your betting knowledge and confidence is at your fingertips. Visit VSiN.com today.
Our VSiN experts live and breathe sports betting, and we've assembled the best team here in Las Vegas and from sportsbooks across the country to help you learn how to become a better handicapper. We go beyond picks and predictions to discuss the numbers and analysis that matter to sports bettors. We are always on for you with TV, radio, and digital coverage. Get everything we have to offer, including our upcoming bracket betting guides for under $50 from now through the College Hoops Finals. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up for this special offer today.
Welcome into the pregame show. I'm Brady Cannon along with Wes Reynolds live from the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. Big college basketball card on this 7th of March, a Sunday. Conference championships, conference semifinals, and also conference regular season finales. And Wes, let's begin in the ACC. This game just tipping off. Memphis at number 9, Houston in progress. The Tigers will have to win this one outright if they want to keep their NCAA tournament hopes alive, and they went into Houston as 10-point underdogs today.
Yeah, this is really an opportunity for Memphis here because they're kind of in that last four out or next four out category, depending on which bracketology simulation you want to believe, because they just don't have one of those high-quality wins. They're playing better basketball of late, and they're actually number 2 in adjusted defensive efficiency. So a really good defensive team. I did take them small here, getting double digits, playing at Houston, who, oh, by the way, even though they're the best team in this American Athletic Conference, this is the battle for the number 2 seed. Yeah. Because Wichita State actually will be the number 1 seeded team in that AAC tournament. So winner of this is going to get the 2, loser will get the 3 here. I did like Memphis a little bit here. Recall with Memphis last year, remember everybody really loved them on the futures market because of that big recruiting class, and they, of course, had James Wiseman, who is now with the Golden State Warriors. He didn't end up playing hardly any games for the Memphis Tigers, but the core of that team besides Wiseman is back, and then you add a very talented freshman, so they got 4 sophomores in the starting lineup, and Memphis kind of looks late in the season like they're figuring this out a little bit, like they're figuring out how to play a little bit more. Very young team, and you got a young coach and Benny Hardaway figuring out how to coach. I mean, coaches are young too and have to learn just like players. So you're seeing that, I think, materialize with Memphis. The one thing that they don't do, they play really good defense and they've been shooting the ball actually better, especially from outside of late. But the one thing that they do a little bit too frequently is turn the ball over. And that's what concerns it for you. I think 326 in the country in terms of turnover percentage on offense.
Right now, off to a good start, a 9-5 advantage over the Houston Cougars with about 17 minutes left in the first half. Florida at Tennessee. This one also just tipped off in Knoxville, the regular season finale in the SEC. Both teams coming off of a loss here. They both figure to be probably in the neighborhood of 6-9 seeds in the NCAA tournament. Volunteers went off as 6-point favorites.
Yeah, and late injury news, and that's why this moved up to 6. This did move down from 5.5 to 5. Trey Mann with a migraine for the Florida Gators. Not going to go today as we're at the first TV timeout. Gators up 7-6 in Knoxville. This actually, for the scenarios here for the conference tournament, is actually for the double bye in the SEC. And really, everything has been decided in terms of what that bracket's going to look like for that tournament in Nashville, except 4, 5, and 6. And if Florida wins this game, they will be the 4 seed. If Tennessee wins this game, they will be the 4 seed. And Ole Miss could fall anywhere from the 5th seed to the 6th seed. So whoever gets that 4 seed does get the bye to the quarterfinals and does not have to play until Friday. SEC first round begins Wednesday and then the second round on Thursday. So you would definitely like to not have to play that extra game if you can allow that. So a lot on the line here. Gators up early.
A lot on the line in the Big South as well. The conference championship between Winthrop and the Fighting Camels of Campbell. This one also has just tipped off. Camels have won 9 in a row. The Winthrop Eagles have won 6 in a row, and they have an advantage today. They went off as double-digit favorites here. They're playing this conference championship on their home court.
Yeah, Winthrop got the season sweep back in late December over Campbell. Won by one in the first meeting and then won by 18 in the second meeting. Winthrop, by the way, 22-1. Just one loss this year. That was to UNC Asheville on their home court by two on January 29th. I know our colleague Mike Sinnott will have a keen interest and a keen eye on this one. A Campbell alum here. Winthrop anywhere from 11 to 11.5 point favorites. Even with that impressive record, not enough wins in the non-conference, so this is pretty much you got to win it to get in it here in the Big South. And so far, first TV timeout, 8-5 Winthrop.
All right, this one tips off here pretty quick, 9:30 Pacific, 12:30 Eastern, and this is in the Big Ten, Wisconsin at Iowa. It's been a rough go for the Badgers as of late. They've lost four out of their last five, including a loss to Iowa in Madison. Today they're in Iowa City, catching 7.5 points here, West, with a total of 143.
Yeah, C.J. Frederick is going to go for the Iowa Hawkeyes here on what will be a senior day in Iowa City. Of course, that senior class led by Luca Garza and Jordan Bohannon playing their last game at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Iowa clearly has been playing better of late. This is a little bit of a big number to lay to Wisconsin, though, even the struggling Badgers team. Iowa, by the way, has won six of their last seven, including a 15-point win at Wisconsin back on February 18th. So the way I went actually here is the first half under 67.5. Could see a lower scoring game and Wisconsin maybe hanging in the game early. But the Badgers are certainly opposite of last season in the Big Ten, where they got hot at this point of the year and ended up the one seed in the Big Ten tournament, which unfortunately never took place. But it is going to take place this year. But Badgers, they really don't have a quality win over the last month or month and a half or so. So is this the day to get it? Perhaps. I thought the number was a little bit big. Iowa, though, now up to a 7.5-point favorite, but first half under is the way I went.
I think that makes sense, because if Wisconsin's going to be competitive in the game, they're going to have to play defense. And Iowa, much maligned for their lack of defense when they were going through that rough stretch, has really stepped up on that side of the ball. So first half under, I think it makes sense from a defensive standpoint for both teams. Drake at Loyola of Chicago, and this one will tip off at just after 11 a.m. Pacific time, just after 2 p.m. Eastern. And we've seen this matchup a couple of times already this season, and now it's for all the marbles in the Missouri Valley Conference Championship game. The Ramblers of Loyola Chicago up to the 20th ranked team in the country. They're an 8-point favorite today with a total of 126.
I have to think that Drake probably, I don't want to say lock, but they put themselves in really good status winning that game against Missouri State yesterday. I think they kind of had to get to the final here if they were going to get an at-large bid. I think this is a two-bid league, though. I think both of these teams are going to be in the tournament. Now, Drake, in those meetings with Loyola Chicago, without Shanquan Hemphill, and they ended up splitting the series at home, got blown out in one game and then had to win by the skin of their teeth in overtime in the game the day after. But now they're also without Rowan Penn, their point guard, so they're without two starters, or Roman Penn, rather. They're without two starters here, so that's why you're seeing that line a little bit higher than most of the power rating guys have it, and you're seeing 8, 8.5 out there right now on Loyola. I haven't done anything with this game yet, but I gotta think that there's a sense of relief for Drake after winning that tight game with Missouri State yesterday. It was actually the backup point guard, Joseph Yosefu, pretty much won that game for him down the stretch. So I can see why the money is moving to Loyola, but I think both of these two teams will be in the field of 68 next Sunday.
I hope they are. I think they're both a good story out of the Missouri Valley Conference, and they deserve to be in the final 68. North Alabama and Liberty. This is an 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern start. The Atlantic Sun Championship game, and it's kind of a weird situation here for Liberty. They're nearly two touchdowns favorites, and they are the conference regular season champion, and they're going to the big dance no matter what, because North Alabama is transitioning from D2 and they're ineligible for the postseason. So, you know, we kind of like to say when the postseason is not available for a certain team, this is kind of like their bowl game. This is their Super Bowl. It could be that for North Alabama.
And I think that's discounted in the line already here. Liberty actually swept UNA back to back in the regular season by identical scores of 20-point wins. 74-54 was the score in both of those matchups. you know, you got to think, okay, this is UNA's kind of like their Super Bowl here. This is the last game of the season. They are probably not going to be in any of the minor postseason tournaments because I think one of them was canceled. And the NIT this year, you've seen all these one seeds in these lower major conferences that usually get auto bids in the NIT. NIT's only going to have 16 teams instead of 32 this year. So probably the last game of the season for UNA. But at the same time, I don't know if Liberty is necessarily just going to roll out the basketball and kind of mail it in here. It's still a chance to win a trophy and still a chance to win your conference tournament, sweep that with the regular season. So line to me at 13 and a half, it's obviously discounted because of the fact that Liberty proverbially has nothing to play for here, but I think that they do have something to play for. So I have not gotten involved yet in this game, so be a little wary necessarily about fade and Liberty, that they're just gonna mail it in effort here.
Over to the Big 12 for Texas Tech and Baylor, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock start. And since losing to Kansas, Baylor has really responded with wins over Oklahoma State and West Virginia. Meanwhile, the Red Raiders have won 3 in a row, and they are in Waco today getting 8 points from the Bears with a total of 137.
Yeah, I want to see if this goes up a little bit more for game time. I do lean to Texas Tech a little bit here. I got within the number on Thursday with Oklahoma State. They got
barely,
there
right?
Just barely, yes, and had to make a late run to do so before it got out of hand, because that was the game for Baylor after they had clinched their first ever Big 12 regular season title when they won that overtime game on Tuesday against West Virginia. So, you know, 3 games in 5 days, really, for both of these teams, actually, because they both played Tuesday, Thursday, and now playing on Sunday. You know, it just seems like Texas Tech needs to find something a little bit here. They're a quality team, but they've kind of left you wanting more in a lot of these big spots, even though they swept Texas this year, lost at home to Baylor, lost both the meetings to West Virginia, lost both the meetings to Kansas. So they really haven't fared well against the conference elite, you would call it, except for the sweep of Texas. You know, I think this is a bigger game for the Red Raiders, and they need to show a little mettle here. Would like to wait until tip-off here to see if I can maybe get 8.5, get 9, or get as best of the number as I can. I do expect a big effort out of these guys. Baylor has already clinched the regular season. They'll be the one seed in the Big 12 tournament. So a little bit more, I think, mattering here for Texas Tech. Baylor, I think, win or lose, they're going to be a one seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, similar situation here with Michigan and Michigan State. This is a 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern start. Michigan coming off of the loss to Illinois, locked up the Big Ten Conference champion, regular season championship, with a win over Michigan State on Thursday. That was in Ann Arbor. They will meet in East Lansing today, and Michigan State trying to build their case to solidify an NCAA bid. Michigan State, an 8.5-point home dog here today with a total of 137.
And it's already put into the line. This is a big one for Michigan State. I don't think a loss necessarily puts them out. They would be probably one of the last few teams in the NCAA tournament right now. But a win, I think that they're in really good shape here. You know, barring an embarrassing performance in the Big Ten tournament, a win here, I think, would certainly put the Spartans in. And kind of leaning that way, I think the number's about right at 8, 8.5. Michigan rebounded nicely off that loss to Illinois. That was, you know, not that Illinois is not a good team, but it was the way it happened. The fact that they got blown out at home, I don't think anybody really saw that coming. You know, Michigan did get the rebound, but 8.5's a little bit of a big number here in this spot. So lean to the dog and the over in this spot.
The Texas Longhorns will be in Fort Worth to take on the Horned Frogs of TCU, and the Longhorns have won 2 straight on the road, the latest coming in Norman over the Oklahoma Sooners earlier this week. They're laying 7 here in Fort Worth today to the Horned Frogs with a total of 136.5.
Yeah, and you wonder if this could potentially be like a little bit of a stub-your-toe spot. Texas is going to easily make the NCAA field as an at-large. A lot of quality wins for this group, especially that sweep over the Kansas Jayhawks. TCU, disappointing season after a 9-2 start, starting here in 2021, only 5-10 in Big 12 play. They are right at 500 right now. The one big win, I think, for TCU, actually two of them, they actually swept Oklahoma State and Cade Cunningham, but that's kind of the wins of note here, really, for TCU. number looks about right, but this is kind of a tricky spot here for Texas. I think this is a team you already beat comfortably at home by 15 back on February 13th. You come off the win over one of your arch rivals at Oklahoma. This could be a little bit of a sketchy spot for the Longhorns. So TCU or pass for me.
Over to the Big Ten, Penn State at Maryland, and the Terrapins figure to be in the dance, but another win here to close out the regular season certainly could not hurt. They've won five out of their last six games. They're a 5.5-point favorite here at home, 136 for your total.
Yeah, and I kind of like Penn State a little bit here. Penn State, actually, if you look at all the various power ratings, they are a top 40 or so team, obviously not going to make the NCAA tournament right now unless they win that Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis. 9-13, but you look at them and it's like they're kind of better than their record. They've had a lot of close losses in conference play this year. Did beat these guys back on February 5th, 55-50. So lean with the Nittany Lions here taking the 5.5.
I'm looking forward to this one. Late night, Pac-12 after dark, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, and that'll be the Oregon Ducks at Oregon State. Now, the Ducks have won four straight, and by beating UCLA on Wednesday, they are the Pac-12 regular season champion. They'll be the number one seed here in the Pac-12 conference tournament coming up next week in Las Vegas. Now, Oregon State has been a hot team as well. They've won three in a row. They're getting 5.5 points at home here tonight in Corvallis, 136.5 your total. Interesting spot for the Beavers.
Actually, this is still a must-win for Oregon here, because if they lose, USC can get that number two seed because they are 15-5. This would put Oregon to 13-5. So still the number one seed apparently on the line in the Pac-12 for the Oregon Ducks. Under here is probably where I would go. I think, defense is going to be at a premium here.
All right, next up, we'll check in on NBA All-Star Sunday here on the pregame show. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Show Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on an NBA All-Star Sunday, and the festivities begin at 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time with the three-point shootout, and Steph Curry is your favorite at BetMGM, still a 2-to-1 price on Curry, which is a really nice number. I've seen him down as low as plus 120 at Circa, plus 140 at the Westgate. I believe our colleague Jonathan Von Tobel said he took him at plus 160. But Wes, didn't this used to all go down on Saturday?
Yes.
And now they're shoving it all into one day here. The dunk contest is going to be at halftime.
Yeah, absolutely. So just a one day, because it's usually All-Star Saturday, because Friday they do that rookies versus sophomores,
right,
or USA,
right,
versus,
yeah,
the world. They've done a couple different ones. And then Saturday you get obviously the skills challenge, and they used to do the thing like the almost like the game of horse or whatever it's called with a legend, an NBA player, and a WNBA player. So they've changed the format, but the three-point contest and the dunk contest and the skills challenges basically are mainstays. So, yeah, doing the dunk at halftime, because I was looking at that on my screen. I was like, is that right?
Yeah, they're going to have to do it quickly.
Yeah, and they're doing the first two, the three-point shootout and the skills challenge beforehand. And as you can see in the dunk contest, a field of three, all basically young players. Cassius Stanley out of Duke, the Indiana Pacer, at 2-1. Obi Toppin. So really tough to kind of bet that one. I usually like to bet these for kind of you-know-whats and giggles,
right,
and just pick somebody and see if I hit. And that's probably what I'm going to end up doing, rather, in the three-point contest. I know Steph Curry is the favorite, but the guy I kind of like a little bit down the board, and I think with the dunk contest declining, this is kind of the main event. I've seen him at about 9-2. I see him here at 4-1 at BetMGM. I kind of like Zach LaVine from the Chicago Bulls here. And you've really looked over the past several games. Only seven players in the entire league have hit more threes over the last 10 games than Zach LaVine, who is actually shooting at 46%. Over those last 10 games. And if you look at the guys and how they've been shooting lately, Curry about 36%, Donovan Mitchell 33%, the two Celtics, I think Brown is 34%, Tatum 30%. So LaVine has been shooting it a little bit better. And look, he's 43.5% behind the arc for the entire season. This is his first time ever being selected to the actual NBA All-Star game. So he's going to play in the game tonight. So Zach LaVine is who I'm going to go with. Obviously shop around for some odds, but I've seen him anywhere 4-5, somewhere to 1. I think you're going to get a little value. Curry's going to be the favorite. Donovan Mitchell will probably get some support based on how well Utah has played. But Zach LaVine's my guy here for the 3-point shootout.
And that's where I might worry about LaVine a little bit, because you mentioned he is a debutant. He's new to this stage a little bit. We'll see how he handles that pressure. By the way, Devin Booker, I believe, is not going to participate in the 3-point shootout. He is out. I'm not sure exactly why there, but it was COVID contact tracing with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons of the Philadelphia 76ers, who will not participate in the All-Star game. Now, we've seen this number here at the South Point and pretty much across town in favor of Team LeBron by about 3.5. Of course, they don't list a total on this game anymore. That got out of hand. But and they have all these weird rules, what happens at the end of the game now. But what about as far as a side, Team LeBron versus Team Durant? Did you do anything there?
I did not. It's very hard to obviously bet this game with the rules being what they are. So I think really the best betting opportunities. And look, in an All-Star game, it's very hard to bet the under, even though that's probably where the quote-unquote value is from this standpoint. But look, bettors are always going to bet the over in the All-Star game. It's an exhibition. I was talking about this with James Salinas yesterday. You look at who are projected to be the starting lineups. This is the new NBA, isn't it? Where you have five guys on the floor that can handle the ball, that can all shoot from the outside. I mean, it's just a different world now. There's not that post game. I think Shaq and Candace Parker got into a little debate last week about how it's a different game, because you couldn't switch off a Shaq. Now you switch everything pick and roll. You couldn't switch off with a 6'7", 6'8" guy on a Shaq. You could just dunk on him. But now you see that this time without a lot of true post players in the game. So nothing for me in terms of the actual game, but I do like LaVine in the 3-point contest.
I think the 3-point contest is akin kind of to the home run derby. I think they're both kind of fun to bet, fun to watch, certainly a great competition. No Klay Thompson in the contest this year. It'll be just Steph by himself. He is the favorite. We'll see if that makes a difference without his splash brother there in the field. The 3-point contest coming up again at 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. The game itself, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Next up, we go to Vinny Maliulo and check in with our guy in the desert right here on the pregame show. This week is a great time to find value on every team, game, and conference tournament on the schedule. Our experts are working 24/7 from now through Selection Sunday to find the daily sleepers, the underdogs, and the future Cinderellas. VSiN subscribers will receive our upcoming bracket betting guide with insights from Josh Applebaum, Matt Eumanns, Greg Hoop Peterson, and all of our VSiN experts, plus access to our live VSiN Selection Sunday coverage starting live at 6 p.m. Eastern for instant line analysis to get ahead of the markets, and complete betting matchup data and game previews on VSiN.com. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to start your free trial today. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds back with you inside the pregame show on a Sunday, getting ready for all the action, and we bring in our man Vinny Maliulo. He is the chief odds maker for Gone Gaming and here at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Vinny, good to have you back, and we were just talking about the NBA All-Star festivities coming up a little later this afternoon. Are you seeing much handle on the three-point, the dunk, everything going on, the game itself? And if so, where are the majority of the bets coming in?
Well, Brady, good to be with you and Wes, as always. And, you know, it's interesting because everything is today now, right? All the events. There's all the skills challenge, the three-point shooting contest was today. Believe it or not, and this is, I don't think it'll really be a surprise to you guys. You've been around this for quite a while. Even with the new format, the thing that's getting bet the most today is the total, the combined total. I have the ultimate total here. How about this? 314.5 on the opener. Too low. Up to 317.5 right now and climbing. Team LeBron, still 3.5-point favorites. Everything else is holding pretty steady, though, in terms of the props and things like that. You know, the first team to score the first 10 points in the game, Team LeBron slightly favored there at 15 cents. But listen, here's the thing. That as we get right before tip-off today, which will be 5 o'clock, in this morning, the college baskets will rule the day, as well as NASCAR, the NASCAR action that we saw this weekend is certainly going to have a lot more handle than the NBA All-Star game, particularly with the event being here. But right now, it's the total that's moved the most, up 3 points and climbing, guys.
Vinny, I was going to ask that in terms of obviously the overall handle for the entire card for college basketball will be bigger. But in terms of what are the feature games today, I was wondering how they were going to match up with the All-Star game. And let's get to a couple of these. A couple of them have already tipped off. Actually, Wisconsin and Iowa just tipped off here in the Big Ten. 7-6 Badgers, by the way, just 4 minutes in. But Iowa seemed to get all the money here. It's kind of been the reverse between what we saw last year. Wisconsin got hot this time of year and ended up being the number one seed in that Big Ten tournament that did not take place. But now they're going in reverse, and Iowa looks like they got all the money here today.
They did, Wes. You're right on, buddy. Open 6 at South Point. Up there, close 7.5. I think there's some 8s out there. I don't think it'll be a surprise that the game was bet under, particularly with the way Wisconsin has gone into some scoring droughts this year. That one down a couple of points off the 144.5 opener. But that one got quite a bit of handle. Tennessee got the majority of the handle in the 9 o'clock Pacific start this morning. They opened 4.5 and closed 5.5. You'll see a lot of the Texas Baylor game will get a lot of attention today, even though it's holding steady with the Bears as 8-point favorites. Michigan State, right? Especially with Michigan State being really, you hate to start putting the must-win tag on some team, but they need a win here going into the Big Ten tournament. But Michigan's getting the betting attention so far. I suspect that there'll be some Spartan money as we get closer to kick tip-off there at 1:30 Pacific. So that one is Michigan now 8.5 at South Point. And then you've got a late Pac-12 game between Oregon and Oregon State, the basketball version of the Civil War, and the Ducks, who really played better ball in the last month. They're up to 5.5 off the 5-point opener. So college baskets will get the majority of the action today as we head into championship week.
Vinny, you mentioned the NASCAR race here in town, one of two that we have annually here in Las Vegas, the Pennzoil 400 out at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway at 12:30 Pacific, 3:30 Eastern start. And Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott, Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin, those are your favorites. Where are you seeing some of the respected money come in on the futures board?
Yeah, Brady, Chase Elliott, 7-1 down to 4-1, 3.5-1 on the verge of going to 3.5-1. He's gotten the majority of the play so far in the future book itself. Kyle Busch, I don't think that's really a surprise. He's gotten a little bit of attention, quite a few tickets down to 10-1 off of 12-1. But the majority of the bets come in on, you know, we put up the group pairings. So four drivers to a group, and we used six groups there. So there's a lot of mixture in there and a lot of participation there. Here's the head-to-head props, which are interesting. The winning car number will be either 002 through 11 or 12 through 99. How about this one? Up to a quarter. We opened at Pick'em, and folks seem to think that the 00 through 11 will get the checkered flag. The winning car number. We love this, right, for the Super Bowl. Heads or tails? They're at a winning car number. This has got a little bit more science to it, though. Odd or even? Even. Even open 270. It's down to 180. So they love the odd number cars. But that's also indicative of the drivers, right, and who folks, folks support. I have to tell you, one thing I learned a long time ago, the first time we got the race here in Las Vegas, back in the 90s, NASCAR fans are not only passionate, but they're as knowledgeable as any fans out there in any sport. And they follow it well, and they come up with opinions that are very respected and very well thought out. So the winning manufacturer, Ford, Chevrolet, or Toyota, Ford's getting the backing there. Plus 175 on the opener, now down to 3-2 at 150. Chevy holds steady at 2-1. And Toyota, if you think that the Toyota can come in, you get just under 2-1 at plus 190. So some fun props there. There'll be plenty of action. This race and the South Point 400 are the two races, along with Daytona, that draw the most NASCAR interest in terms of betting.
Vinny, just real quick here, about 10 seconds. How's the prop going in college buckets with Gonzaga, Baylor, and Villanova here at the South Point?
Opened it, pick them, got as high as the three teams you just mentioned at minus 150. It is now the field with Villanova's injuries at minus a quarter and plus 105 on the three teams.
Oh, it sounds like a lot of action coming in on that one. Good job, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your Sunday, Vinny.
Good job, guys. Well done.
All right, that is Vinny Maliulo, the chief odds maker here at Gone Gaming and the South Point. Big action for the race, the Pennzoil 400, coming up a little later today at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. We'll wrap up the program, Wes, with some NHL hockey talk. Get your previews on the ice for your Sunday right here on the pregame show on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here on the pregame show on a Sunday from the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa, Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you. Some college basketball going on as we speak. The Houston Cougars leading Memphis now by 5 points. Memphis had the early lead for quite some time, but now Houston has flipped the script. 30-25, they lead the Memphis Tigers. Iowa up on Wisconsin right now. Just under 12 minutes left in the first half. 15-9, your first half under the total, looking pretty decent right now, Wes. And the Florida Gators all over Tennessee. The Volunteers continue to struggle. An 8-point advantage right now for the Gators on the road in Knoxville. 33-25, under 2 minutes left to go in the first half there. And Winthrop out in front early over Campbell. They have gone to a break. I'm not positive of the score there. I believe I saw about
30-26. It's showing Winthrop here near the end of the first half. And in that Memphis-Houston game you referenced, Tigers have four starters with two fouls here. So in some big-time foul trouble at Houston. Houston leading 31-25 a little under 5 minutes ago in the first half.
And you are exactly right. Winthrop over Campbell right now, 30-26, and just about 20 seconds left in that first half. All right, let's take a look at the NHL card for your Sunday. One game already in action, that is Buffalo and the Islanders. This will tip off, or drop the puck rather, at 11:30 a.m. Pacific, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, and this is in Chicago. The Lightning at the Blackhawks. A little revenge here for the defending champs sitting atop the Central Division. Tampa Bay lost to the Blackhawks the last time out, and they're good-sized favorites here to return the favor, Wes. Better than $2 in a lot of shops, minus 210 here at the South Point with a total of 5.5.
Looks like Andre Vasilevsky is going to be back for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Big favorites here in Chicago, well over $2 currently in the marketplace. So if you're looking for this game to kind of be played on those terms, unfortunately, everybody else has kind of done the same analysis I've done. This is now down to 5.5. I would have recommended it at under 6 with juice. But I think with Vasilevsky back, and if you don't want to lay that big price with Tampa Bay, probably probably the better route would be to go to the under. You may have some shops that allow you to lay under six, obviously, with more extended juice, but this is now down to 5.5, and I think it moved the right way.
Look, some of the, like, the initial money was on Chicago. I was able to grab Tampa Bay at minus 187, and now that money has come back in on the Lightning side to better than the $2 mark now. Panthers at Hurricanes. This is a 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, and Florida has won 2 in a row. Carolina's won 4 in a row, and the Panthers are a point up on the Hurricanes in the division, but Carolina laying the price at home, and Florida started to get a little of the money. This was as high as minus 150, now down to minus 140 on Carolina with a total of 6.
Yeah, Florida looked like when they started the season, okay, this is a little bit of a mirage here. They're kind of beating up on some of the weak sisters, if you will, in the NHL, but they've continued it. 15-4-4, second in the Central Division, just ahead of the Carolina Hurricanes, as you mentioned. Hurricanes trying to keep that winning streak going here. Two very profitable teams if you've bet on them accordingly. This has moved up from 5.5 juice to the over now to 6 in some spots. So, you know, when you got two even teams, I'm going to lean on the underdog here and lean to the Panthers here in the spot at about $120, $125.
Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't play the game, and I'm kind of kicking myself now. I thought 150 was a little bit rich on Carolina, but I worried about the Panthers on a back-to-back. They just beat Nashville, I believe it was, on Saturday, and Carolina is rested, so I stayed out of this one. The Devils at the Bruins. This is also a 2 o'clock Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern start, and it has not gone well as of late for the New Jersey Devils. They've lost 5 in a row. Boston is off of a win and just a few points off the top spot in the Eastern Division, a minus 260 favorite here at home with a total of 5.5.
Yeah, big price here. New Jersey kind of coming back to earth here. They hadn't won a game in a long while. Brad Marchand, 2 goals last time out for the Boston Bruins in that 5-1 victory over Washington. Look, New Jersey, where their trouble is, they've given up 22 power play goals, basically only killing 63.9%. That is not very good for this young team here. So Boston is the type of team, they grind you a little bit defensively, and they'll make you pay if you take penalties against this team. Devils 2-8-0 in the last 10 games. I'm not seeing anything that makes me want to take them, but I don't want to lay 250 here with the Bees.
This should be a good one. The Capitals at the Flyers, two teams sandwiching the Bruins in the Eastern standings, and they are both off of a win here. They're both off of a loss in basically a pick 'em game, basically minus 110 either way here, and 6 for your total.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping to get the Capitals actually as a little bit more of a dog. I've been talking about the Flyers a little bit. They're a team that kind of outperforms their metrics or outperforms the analytics. Washington, to some degree, not as pronounced really as Philadelphia. Obviously, the standings, and if you're really into the hockey analytics like our man Andy McNeil is, who you hear on VSiN throughout the week, you would be more on the Washington team. And I think that they're the better team, really, than the Flyers. Caps did have the day off. Flyers had to play Pittsburgh. They had to play them basically 3 times in less than a week. So now, you know, tough spot to get back up off of. Capitals at virtually a pick 'em would be where I would go, even without Tom Wilson, who, of course, got that lengthy suspension the other day. Caps, better team with the rest. That would be my lean here.
The Rangers and the Penguins you mentioned, this one will tip at 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. Both of these teams were winners on Saturday. Pittsburgh got a late goal to top Philly 4-3. The Rangers doubled up New Jersey 6-3. And the Penguins are a solid favorite here, Wes, minus 150 with a total of 6.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh did finally get that win over the Flyers. Of course, they've been without Sidney Crosby due to COVID-19. He's now back in the lineup. I think he missed 1 game, maybe 2 games. Panarin's still out for the New York Rangers here. So market is moving. It's pretty heavy on Pittsburgh, actually. It's moved from about 140 to 150 here. Small lean on this price to the Rangers, maybe the Pens, kind of after playing 3 games against their arch rival in the Keystone State, could be a down spot for them. So I'm going to wait to see what kind of price I get on the Rangers here.
both Adam Candy and I had winners with the Dallas Stars on Saturday as they blanked the Blue Jackets 5-0. They will host the Nashville Predators a little later this evening, and Nashville lost 6-2 to Florida on Saturday. Now, the Stars are trying to make it 2 in a row, but this price has gotten a little thick, minus 155 in favor of Dallas with a total of 5.5.
Yeah, Nashville, I don't think a lot was expected of them, but I think people thought that they were maybe going to be a little bit better, just 10-14, three-game slide here. But not seeing a lot of movement in terms of the line here, despite the fact that the Predators now have lost 3 in a row. Stars, of course, have played probably the fewest games in the National Hockey League because they had that COVID pause immediately to start the season. So where I'd probably look here is the under 5.5. Dallas usually involved in, low scoring games pretty much throughout. So if I'm playing this, I'm going to play the under 5.5 minus $1.25.
Yeah, even on Saturday when they scored 5 goals, the game stayed under the total.
Right, yeah, because it was 5 juice to the over and then 5.5 juice to the under as they shut out Columbus 5-0 last night.
The final game on your Sunday card in the NHL will be the Senators at the Flames. Daryl Sutter returned to the coaching circle and suffered a loss on Saturday in his first game back with the Calgary Flames, falling to Edmonton 3-2. Ottawa has dropped 2 straight, only 8 wins on the season for the Senators. Calgary, a big favorite, minus 170 at home tonight with a total of 6.
Yeah, from a scheduling spot, looks like to be a little bit of a good spot for the underdog, although it's been a leap of faith, really, to take Ottawa in very many points this season. Ottawa has not played since Thursday night, so well-rested coming into Calgary here last night. Flames, last time they played, they gave up 2 goals in the first 10 minutes in Ottawa after they had that overtime loss in Toronto. So and then they did pull David Rittich very early in that one. So and eventually came back. So Ottawa, I think, a little bit worth a shot. And just judging by looking at what the market has done, I think the market really agrees here. This was opened at about 160, now seeing kind of in the 140-ish range. So I think this could be a shot to take the Senators just on the scheduling spot.
And let's turn finally to the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the final round at the Bay Hill Club and Lodge in Orlando, Florida today. And Wes, I'm sure you were surprised to see 47-year-old former world number one Lee Westwood in the lead at 11 under par heading into the final round.
Yeah, he certainly is. The approach game has absolutely been fabulous for Lee Westwood, one of the best here in the field. And look, Lee Westwood has always been one of those guys, as much as he's won around the world, has always struggled a little bit with the putter.
Yep.
There's a lot of guys up here on this leaderboard that struggle with the putter. Corey Connors,
Keegan Bradley. Right?
Yeah, these are some of the more egregiously bad putters in some big moments. But right now, Lee Westwood, of course, with the one-shot lead going into the final round. Just give you some live prices from BetMGM as they were just taken off, as I was going to give them. Bryson DeChambeau is going to be the favorite here, plus 225, just one back with Connors in that final group with Westwood. Jordan Spieth had it going and then lost the lead. He is 9 under par, continues to play well. Keegan Bradley, 64 yesterday, maybe a candidate for regression today. Tommy Fleetwood, who's one of my pre-flop wagers, 8 under par, very quietly putting together solid rounds, couple nice par saves at 17 and 18 to really stay in the mix. I think he's going to be heard from today at some point. And then you've got a host of players at 7 under, Rory McIlroy. Our guy Tyrrell Hatton, if he doesn't have that balloon round on Thursday, would be right in the mix, 6 under on the tournament. So I think everybody probably 6 under or better is still in this. By the way, the wind is blowing down there in Orlando, so going to be some tough conditions for these guys.
And Matt Eumanns' guy, Matthew Fitzpatrick, is 1 under through 2 holes. He's at 6 under par for the tournament. He'll need a big day as well if he's going to make some noise towards the top of the leaderboard. That's going to do it for us. Next up, it is Betting Across America with Mike Sinnott, James Salinas, and Adam Candy. As your Sports Betting Sunday rolls along, keep it here with us, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Have a good day, everybody.